Blog Talk Radio.
February 8th, we're live, and it's Chinese New Year, so it's the Year of the Monkey. And Cynthia, where are you? I mean,
I'm here in Nashville. I put up my Chinese New Year in honor of Yu Mei, and you and I agreed last week that we are now officially starting our New Year because we thought that January sucked.
Yeah, it was, as one of my friends said, it was brutal, and time to move it along. You know, So that's where it is.
So this is our new year, and we're starting it off with something that perhaps we're boldly going where Cynthia probably should not go. And we're going to have a special guest on with us today, and we're going to do a little political tit for tat, for lack of better wording.
Before we get into that political, because I've never seen anything like it, but you know, I just want to say that that we need to start this new year over, and it's like to all my friends who celebrate, whether you be Chinese, Asian, or non, and you celebrate, you know, Happy New Year to everyone. It's crazy. A lot of my friends are around in town. I can't wait to see a few. One's from Singapore. He's in town, and my friend Eddie Sung, and my girlfriend Annie is somewhere in Cambodia. So everybody's everywhere.
Wow.
You know. Yeah.
Well, it's the year of the red monkey, which
yes.
kind of amps it up a little bit, right? So.
I believe so. It's not my year, so sometimes I don't pay attention. But
yeah.
it's been very good. Oh, for everyone who wants to meet Frida Kelly, I believe she and I will be doing the next Chiller Theater Convention in April.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, we're going to be, you know, I just found this out last night. And so so it's great. You know, it's going to be fun. We're going to be doing it. And so come on out and come meet us both out there.
Well, yeah, you know? For those our listeners who aren't familiar with good old Frida, she was the original head of the Beatles fan club when fan clubs were really fan clubs, and she's known all the ins and outs about the boys, about the lads when they were actually the Beatles. So.
And she was also Brian Epstein, who of course managed the Beatles. She was, you know, his secretary as well, and so she had the inside scoop on the boys when they, you know, when they first started out. So it's great, and she's a great lady, and we've been friends on and off for many. When I say off, it's because I lived in New York and she lived in Liverpool, and she never left. And but we've known each other since about 1970, 71, somewhere in there.
When you
so
were mere fetuses, mere fetuses.
I know.
Well, let's get on to our challenge of the day, because we have a return favorite. We got excellent mail on the show with this guy, and I think mostly because he says what he wants to say and doesn't care about the fallout. He's been called the Prince of Hippie Punk, and he was one of the founding members of Country Joe and the Fish, and he is actually the Fish himself. And back for a return engagement, we'd like to welcome back one of the original counterculture mouths that made him legendary, Barry Melton. Barry, welcome back
to
the show.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. A counterculture mouth. Well,
a counterculture mouth, yeah.
I'll wear that.
Barry, yeah. I of course, you're calling us from Northern California. I have to tell you that I pride myself on having never seen a football game, but I know that you had some game over there in your area, in your neck of the woods yesterday.
We did. We had the Super Bowl. It's true. It was sort of age versus beauty or something like that. and age one out, you know.
Yay for age one. We like that.
That's so funny.
So, to that extent, you know, I mean, that was the great drama for me, was the old, really old, 39-year-old quarterback going to be able to prevail over the young 26-year-old darling of the league.
Seriously.
And
it turned out
well for us old folks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much, but, you know, I live in Tennessee, and, of course, Peyton Manning came from University of Tennessee. And when we first moved here, he was still playing college football. So, I mean, I know the name because, you know, in Tennessee, it's like, you know, they'll name streets after him, you know, rivers after him. You know, that's how it goes here. But to think that someone's considered old, you know, athletes just – their shelf life is much shorter than everybody else. So you got to commend them for that. But they had this guy, like, retired and on his way out years ago. So to say that he still hung in and brought home another Super Bowl, I guess, is certainly a feather in his cap and a ring on his
hand.
Although
I think he's too young to be responsible for having Peyton Place named after him. That's my guess, you know.
Okay, if we had a rim shot, I'd be – wait, I might have a rim shot. Will it play?
Oh God!
A tiny rim shot. Anyway,
yeah,
Barry.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, May and I, we don't really try to venture too much into politics because Cynthia tends to get carried away and her soapbox is on wheels now, you know. So we try to shy away from it. But this particular election, I mean, the three of us have been around for a few. It just appears to me like this is, I'm calling it Circus Maximus, because there's enough on both sides to sit and eat popcorn and enjoy the show. So we wanted to have somebody on who would not be afraid to say what he thought about the whole thing. So we're going to turn the microphone over to you, Barry.
Well, if you're talking about the Republican side, it's crazy. It's completely crazy. Although I'm sure there are New Yorkers in your audience who are so proud of Donald Trump being in the field, so to speak. you know, it's a strange. I don't know if you saw the Republican debate the other night. Rubio put his foot in his mouth, so the whole dynamics of that race may be changing. He repeated himself robotically three or four times. It was kind of a shock. But, you know, I'm not on that side of the ledger, as it were. I watched the Republican debate mostly for theater. It's pretty interesting. On the
it
other
is
hand,
interesting.
I'm really...
Yeah.
Hmm?
I was just going to say, Barry, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you know, this is May. I think that when I see that, and I think I mentioned to you when just before we came on, I found that I've never seen the Republican Party at such a point. First off, we had such a big, large field to begin with. And then to me, you're right, Cynthia, it's like Circus Maximus. I've never seen where you know, at least you had people before in the Republican Party. They were strong. They were, well, they had three or four, and you got it. Now we've got 15, and we still can't figure out any of them would be good for it. I don't know.
Okay,
but
guys, don't mistake me. When I say Circus Maximus, guys, now see, Barry, I'm an independent, so I'm looking at the whole picture because I think there's room on the other side, too, to look at this thing and say, okay, wait a minute, what are we doing here? That, you know, to have somebody like Gloria Steinem come out and make a comment that she thinks that young women are going for Bernie Sanders because they want to appear like they can be a rah-rah in the boys' club was shocking to me.
I think it's because Bernie's sexy, quite frankly. I hate to concede things like
boy.
That. This guy is, you know. Don't you think that's it?
No, I don't. Although I will tell you that, you know, his doppelganger, Larry Sanders, I did have a dream that Larry Sanders and I got married. I'm calling it a dream, but it was certainly on nightmarish, you know, qualifications. But, no, I don't think Bernie's sexy. I don't understand why she said that, and I don't understand why she would think that young women.
Gloria Steinem apologized.
Well, I think it was taken out of context, which – most stuff is these days. But here's my theory. I told you in May before we came on the air that I had a theory about the Republican Party. And I'm going to lay this out there, and then we can talk. I think Donald Trump never had any intention of being president of the United States. I think Donald Trump desperately wants Hillary Clinton to be president because it will benefit him more business-wise in the long run. And I think he has purposely done this to throw the election in her favor.
Well, the one I heard, which is probably even more accurate, is Donald Trump is running. He's self-financed, but he sells all the swag, the hats, the shirts, all that stuff. He makes a profit on that. And someone was saying that his profits on selling merchandise are more than what he spent on his campaign. So it's a good business deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
telling you, something's up. Something's afoot. You don't start it originally when he started out, because everybody was so, I don't know. He was okay. You know, I'm a businessman. And then he got crazier and crazier and crazier and more irresponsible. And his own party isn't checking him on his irresponsibility. And that's why I think he doesn't care. He has absolutely no care for what the outcome is in regards to himself. I think he really wants her to be president, and I think that will show at the polls if he is the candidate.
Hey, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually thought when this interview was scheduled that you were going to ask me about the horrible month of January and even this beginning of February, the way we started out this year in terms of rock musician mortality.
Oh, no, we can go there, too. No problem. You know, that's why May and I are starting the new year over again. Here we go.
We just lost Dan Hicks over the weekend.
Oh, did we? Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Didn't see that one. Oh, that's sad. Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. Oh, my God. This is why, you know, you take each day as it comes. I know we're coming to that. It's just really very sad, the way this has begun this year. And I just needed to start this year over, as I would say, you know.
Yeah, let's start it over.
Yeah, it's Chinese New Year. Let's start it over.
The Ides of March will become the new New Year's Day, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
We like the sound of that. Well, you know, do you think it's just because we're getting older that it's, you know, our peers are starting to bite the dust and it's just more noticeable to us? Do you think that's what it is?
No, it's too soon. It really is too soon. I mean, quite frankly, if you live to be 65, you're supposed to make it to 85, so... You know, people checking out in their early 70s is not, or late 60s, is not cool. It's not cool. It's too soon. And Paul Kantner was too soon. Sidney Anderson was too soon. I mean,
David
these are people
Bowie
from
was way too soon. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
It's too soon. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
Glenn Frey. I mean, you know, you hear
yeah.
it and it's like, wow. And those are the guys that were in their 60s and. You know, we're supposed to be, as we look at everything, we're supposed to be getting staying on this earth a little longer. It got short very quickly here, you know, and it's you're right. So,
do you think, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say he wasn't known for being all that wild, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was wild. In a cultural sense, but he wasn't known as being all that wild in terms of abuse and stuff like that.
Right, like Lemmy, you know, or that. Because that's the point I was going to say, is that some of these guys had such, they rode hard, you know, so it isn't all that surprising that they would get health complications later on in life. It's just the shock of the fact that we're closer in their age than we are, you know, to... You know, youngsters. So I just think it's just so It just seems odd. It seems like they are looking for a big band someplace because they're just snapping them away, you know, and it is a shocking thing. And January did suck, and now we've marched into February because, like you said, we've lost Dan Hicks. It's like, when will it stop?
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Absolutely.
It's going to stop tomorrow. I've had enough, and so it'll stop.
Because Barry Milton said so. Yeah.
Barry
spoke.
Don't worry about it. But anyway, quite frankly, I'm a Bernie voter, you know, just because he does his Larry David impression is so good that he deserves to get elected.
He was great.
Or
he
Larry
was great on SNL
Saturday
the other night.
Well, you know, or is Larry David just a really good Bernie Sanders? I mean, I always appreciate, I think the strongest thing that human beings have is their sense of humor and the ability to laugh at themselves. I always appreciate that. You know, so when those kind of little shows happen, it is funny. But Larry David is a really good Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is a really good Larry David. They are doppelgangers.
Absolutely.
You can't deny it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you think, Barry, that the fact that Bernie – now, once again, I'm playing devil's advocate for both sides because I'm a middleman. If there were a good independent candidate, I would be taking a serious look at them because I think there's efficient finger-pointing all around. Except for some of the super craziness in the Republican Party that's so anti-female. We don't want to go there because Cynthia's soapbox, it'll get busted for me jumping up and down on it. But do you think that Bernie Sanders' simplistic background and his choice to live as simply as he has, do you think that's a harm to him as a candidate?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I think the one thing Bernie Sanders has going is his authenticity. I mean, he's a little bit old to run for president, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a few handicaps, but he seems like a pretty straight-up guy. He's a lot more radical than the country is, and that may ultimately present itself as a problem, especially if the Republicans can come across with somebody who's somewhat milquetoasty and centrist,
mm-hmm.
you know, then he might have a big problem. But they haven't been able to do that yet. The inspiring Republican candidates are extreme themselves, so we'll see what happens. You know,
well, of course, the Democratic Party has to make the decision. They've got to make the choice between him and her. And now, in my observation, he's gotten such a head steam, and but then in the caucus it didn't show that way, and I find that puzzling.
Well, you know, we'll see. New Hampshire is going to be quite important, but I think the both the candidates have disabilities, and I think people aren't being frank about Hillary's problems as a candidate. Forget the
mm-hmm.
feminist issue. She has problems. She's been linked
she
to a bunch of shady stuff over the years. And she just has problems. And people have a long memory. And it doesn't have to do with sexism. I'm sorry. My wife is a Bernie supporter, and she's definitely a feminist. So...
Well, yeah, I mean, women don't vote with their vaginas, let's be frank. It's not, you know, and Hillary does have a lot of problems. I tried to compartmentalize it, Barry. I tried
to say, is tough to say.
That is a hard word, and I'm drinking coffee. I said, you know, she's a woman who's worked in a man's game for a long, long time. So when she's had to pull punches or kick things under the rug, was it because she's in the men's game? I tried to look at it that way, and I just couldn't make enough excuses for her.
But you know what? Here's the other thing I will say. She has gotten more hit on the head, more than a man would, you know, because there are certain things I looked at. I said, well, how come they didn't say that about X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing it to her? And that,
right,
to me, is also very unfair. If you're going to do it to one, you got to do it to the other. So she got hit on the head much more than most guys have. You know, we talk about the emails, but all the other guys can say, I'm sorry, I did it wrong, and they're forgiven. Her would keep coming back to the damn emails, as Bernie would say, and, you know, who cares about it after a while?
Well,
you know, they say, well, she did.
I think it's Hillary has a long track record, and it goes all the way back to Whitewater, and investing $1,000 and making $98,000. I mean, she's got issues, you know, just issues. She brings them along with her, and you know, it's not a matter of these are issues that existed way back,
right?
You know.
But
and,
well,
and,
you know what?
You know what, May? I agree with you that as a woman, because we're chicks, Barry, so, you know, we got to kind of,
right,
you know, as a woman, I do think that your point is fair. However, I really think that when it comes to these kind of situations, everyone should do what I call a David Letterman. David Letterman was, you know, extorted for money because he had an affair outside his marriage. And what did he do? He went on national television and said, yep, I did it. Yes, I did it.
Yep.
I'm trying to work on it. And it's my business and my wife's business, none of yours, but I'm going to stop this right here and have it go no further. I think if everybody tore a page from David Letterman's book, we'd all be better off, and we'd have a lot more to talk about besides whose panties were found in whose, you know, glove compartment.
Right.
You know, it would be better for everybody, but they don't. They don't. They think it's
going
to go
away.
No,
and listen, I'm not saying that here I'm, you know, if you're going to – for me, you're right, and I agree with you, because if you're going to do that to Hillary – and I'm, you know, I'm just saying, then you got to do it to the other guys. So you can't give a pass to, even though it goes back to Whitewater, again, they keep bringing certain things up. What about some of the other guys? You know, then we got Chris Christie with his, you know, Bridgegate.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, yeah.
Of course.
And I'm
well,
tired.
Well, see, that's
no,
why
no,
I'm saying,
wait a minute.
This is
out,
circus
but
maximum.
But he's getting that.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I am concerned with, and I really don't like this. I'm finding that all these candidates are treating the Oval Office, the Office of the Presidency, or anything so disrespectful. Because I remember, I think it was either Rick Perry, who's the governor of Texas or whatever, because Obama could come and meet with me, but I'm not going to shake his hand because I don't believe it. I'm thinking, excuse me, he has the Office of the Presidency. We are now showing so disrespect on all levels here. I don't care. I don't like. I shook. I had to shake. And I believe me, it was kind of hard. But I shook Dick Cheney's hand because I was in the White House, and he put his hand out. First off, I'm looking at it. This is the man who's a vice president. I'm looking at the office of who. So could you imagine these people who's now saying, I'm not going to shake his hand. But if anybody came to you and said, I'm not going to shake your hand, and he's the guy who owns the company, how fast are you going to be there? You know, this is so we've taken it so far that I think we've lost sight of where we're going and where what it stands for. And I'm really upset by looking at this, because whether or not we person, he holds the key office that we've put people in. And for that, you got to give him the courtesy, the respect of what that office means. So for you to not do something like that is ridiculous. So anybody who comes in, you could see. I say this because I said you own the company, and some guy says, I'm not going to shake hands because I don't believe it. Then you're not here. Goodbye. You're out. And then they'll say, but then they'll say, you're not treating me right. Well, hello, who owns the company? My two cents.
I'll tell you, though, there's not a Bernie supporter out there who wouldn't be all that much more enthusiastic if Elizabeth Warren were running in his place. Bernie represents the Elizabeth Warren wing of the Democratic Party. And I think it's extraordinarily significant that she's withheld her endorsement. And, you know, she represents a wing of the party that Bernie is part of. So it's not, you know, this is, we're seeing a change. I mean, the biggest dividing line in this campaign is age.
Right.
People under 40 are very definitely voting Bernie Sanders, and people over 40 are voting Hillary Clinton. I think we're really in a transitional period here. I totally agree with you,
but it's going to be, will people go to the polls and vote? Historically,
yeah,
in our country, the voting is percentage-wise very low. People will talk a good game, but they won't get in their car and go to the polling station and cast their vote. So,
right.
I mean, I think that that's pitiful in a country where voting is, you know, a privilege that, you know, freedom earns for you. And, you know,
you complain, but you don't do anything about it. Yeah.
Right.
You
I know. Say people all the time, they start mouthing off to me and I say, did you vote? Well, no. Okay, then, sorry, I can't have this conversation with you because you didn't exercise your right to vote. And
right,
it is a right, you know. But I don't
know, they
guys.
Say, but you know what they say? They always say, hey, what's the difference? It's not going to change. Well, then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see,
I get that.
That's what's happening here, that that both the right wing and the left wing are being energized by. I mean, Ted Cruz never agreed with anybody and has always stood on his own. Bernie Sanders has always been this voice from the far left. So people are seeing, I mean, depending on which perspective you're coming from, that this may be an election of change, and it's energizing people.
Right.
You know?
Well, listen, Barry, we love having you on. We're just counting down the time here, and it's gone so quickly. So we hope to have you back. So, you know,
well, that would be lovely. Yeah, let's meet in November on November 1st or something
and
like that. We'll
okay.
We'll get together.
Hey, are you doing anything now, Barry? Do you have anything out we need to tell,
or
are you performing?
All kinds of things. I have a tour of England coming up. In fact, by the way, you were talking about Liverpool. I'm one of the few guys that you've had on, I bet, who played the Cavern Club.
Great.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, been there. I love Liverpool. And when I was a kid,
yes,
and I first went to Liverpool, it was, you know, coal mining shipping town. Not anymore.
Yeah, I know. No. It's a whole different thing. And it's a great city. I love it. Love the
place.
So, listen, we're going to have you back. Thank you for coming on. And we're going to see you. And have fun in England, one of my favorite places in the world.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
Barry,
you.
Barry, take care. Thanks for joining our hen session today.
Oh, gosh. Okay. You know, I had a great time. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, he was a brave guy, you know.
Yes,
really.
He was. And, you know, what am I going to say? So listen,
you know,
young lady. Go ahead.
It's interesting, May, to get perspectives, you know, from people who are on all, you know, who will be willing to stand and say, well, this is how I believe, you know, because a lot of people won't. So
right.
I don't know. It's certainly, I hope it's not going to end up being an election of the lesser of two evils, but usually that's what elections end up being.
Right.
And I hope people go out and vote. But anyway, so what's going on with you, Chicklet? What do you have? So you have the thing with Frida. When is that?
Yeah, and I may be doing a couple of universities. I am doing Syracuse University. I'm going to be speaking up there in April.
Awesome.
And so it's going to be fun. I'm going to speak up there. And with the person that got me up there is one of my former writers, Bob Halligan, who I changed from being a Christian pop writer to a heavy metal writer at one point. And
okay. That's
great.
A story
so
in itself right there.
Right? And it's great. We're going to be talking, obviously, Beatles. And so I will be helping out with their class up there.
Well, cool.
So that's in April, and another university might be New Jersey in March, and then and again in April we're doing Chiller. I got a couple of things coming up, but
we are down to the wire. So I'm going to say adios to you, my little chicklet, and we'll see you all next week.
Okay.